Eureka! You found us! Welcome to the Check Out California Radio Show, your key to California hospitality. Hosted by Rad Gantos, principal of Rad Gantos & Associates, a hospitality and commercial real estate design firm, and Craig Sullivan, executive vice president of Parkwest GC, a hospitality and commercial real estate general contractor. Check Out California is focused on our state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play in California's vibrant and innovative economic diversity and unique quality of life. Now, here are your hosts, Rad Gantos and Craig Sullivan.
Good afternoon and welcome to Check Out California. I am Craig Sullivan.
And I'm Rad Gantos, and I'm feeling very lonely over here on this side of the table. Craig usually sits right here when we have a guest in studio, and he's abandoned me for the other side of the table.
I have. Hey, today's a very special show. We're probably not going to be on the full hour, but this is our California to New York show. This week has been the NYU Hotel Conference, and we've got three very special guests that are calling in.
Our first one
is Stephen Medell, Vice President, Development with Pacifica Hotels. Then we'll have Ned DeLorme, Principal of Nubo Hotel Finance. And then the Messiah himself, Glenn Hausman.
In the house.
From No Vacancy. So we've got Stephen on the phone right now, if we can get him on.
Hi, Stephen.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
Great, Stephen. How's New York?
Oh, it's great. And, you know, these conferences are exhausting, but it's always a great opportunity to be in the industry and you know, had a great opportunity to sit next to Arne Sorenson being interviewed on Monday and got to hear a lot of really interesting facts coming out of, you know, what's going on in the industry right now. And it was overall a great conference.
Great. Now, I need you to talk into the phone. You kind of, I don't know if you got it tucked up on, between your ear and shoulder, but you're kind of cutting out.
No, but okay, let me, how do I sound now? I'm better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, okay, why don't you give us your impressions of this year's NYU conference? Is it optimism, or is everybody starting to batten down the hatches, or somewhere in between?
No, continued optimism, most certainly. I would say that right now, if you are seller of hotels, you're in an excellent position. There was probably 10-to-1 buyers to sellers right now.
Wow.
Which tells you that there's that much money still on the sidelines, everything from independent hotels to branded. As well as, which is interesting, because as I'm saying that, there was also, and I would bet Ned's going to talk about it because he and I talked about it, before I knew, and he knew that we were going to be on each other on the show today.
Yeah, we try not to let people know these things.
Yeah, we try and keep everybody in the dark. It's that fear factor.
Is just how much new construction financing there is right now available to developers. And that's not only as independent, but as branded and most certainly soft brands, which we heard a lot of during the last 2 days of the conference and at the various events. So that's encouraging. It's encouraging for a lot of reasons. One, I think it tells you that just how much money there is still on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And what we continue to hear was just how many BOVs are being done. And so the frustrating part of the buyer right now is that there aren't enough properties to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're hearing is that there are so many BOVs that are being generated right now. In the next 1 to 2 months, I think there's going to be that demand for product to be purchased is going to be fulfilled, and so that'll be exciting over these next coming months.
That's great. That is very good news. You know, it's funny. You know, I was looking at Alan Ray's newsletter, and you know, you're talking about new construction. We've got a boatload of it going on here in California, as you well know. You've got a project in downtown LA that I want you to touch on.
That's right.
That you're in the middle of, and I saw your pictures from your rooftop mm-hmm. pool that looks really nice.
But you
look at what's going on in California alone. You get the Hotel Sierra coming to San Luis Obispo. That's a 65-key full-service hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Malpitas okayed an Element. It's going to be 194 keys and a 155-room aloft. Marina Del Rey Courtyard Residence Inn has started, so you got
mm-hmm.
a dual brand property there, 159 key courtyard, 129 key residence inn. Sunnyvale's got an AC opening up soon, and that's another 182 keys. Then you've got the expansion at the LA JW Marriott. So you've got AEG's proposed a $700 million addition to the JW Marriott at LA Live, 40-story tower, 850 guest rooms. And, you know, so it's a good time to be in our business.
I would certainly say so. I mean, when you hear about that much new product, now, of course, you know, the question is, will there continue to be that kind of demand for all this new supply? Being out here in New York City, it seems like every new construction project, every hole in the ground, the permit on the construction wall is for a hotel.
Right.
So it's really no different. I think when you see the type of construction that's happening by coastal right now, it tells you that visitor confidence is still there. Certainly developer confidence is there. And although it was touched on the conference that visitor demand is down for our country, I think what you're continuing to see is that developers still have that confidence, and developers are still going to be able to provide quality lodging accommodation in these top-tier cities.
Absolutely.
From coast to coast.
Well, Stephen, also...
as long as that continues...
Go ahead.
And I think as long as that continues to happen, that's only going to encourage visitor confidence coming to this country, to help get it back on top of where it once was.
Well, and to be honest, I mean, I think a lot of that confidence is predicated on our political cycles. And so, you know, you could argue that it's a smart situation to be in right now, where you're basically cultivating and developing that product and putting it and bringing it online, because the political cycles, you know, ebb and flow and change. So
you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So, and especially on the bicoastal situation. I mean, you, New York, you're drawing a lot of people that are coming in from Asia, mm-hmm. from Europe, from the Middle East, from Africa. You know, on California side, we've traditionally drawn from Asia, and the west side of Canada. I mean, I think the destinations are going to continue to be destinations. The question I have for you is, and it's more of a maybe clarification, I think you've already answered this, is, did you see any shift in terms of new construction? I mean, I understand these projects are ongoing now, that there are things that are happening sort of out of maybe that previous cycle, but has there been a shift in terms of appetite for new construction, adaptive reuse, repositioning of properties, or has it remained somewhat the same in terms of the matrix?
You know, from our perspective, it's somewhat the same. What I will say is that the number of select-serve hotels that we're seeing be developed is staggering.
Yeah, it's dramatically high.
Full-service counterpart. I mean, it's almost night and day.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. Cost of construction, Craig knowing very well, being number one.
Yep.
But I think if you're buying right, if your basis going in is good, whether that be on the land or whether that be an existing structure that you're buying, like Craig was talking about with our downtown LA location, I think developers will still find out and seek out those great opportunities and do the right thing by that asset.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Hey, Stephen, our time with you is going to be very limited, and I'd like to close with getting an update on your downtown LA project before we bring Ned on.
Yeah, appreciate that. So our downtown LA project, very exciting. We'll make it quick. We bought an existing hotel. We are converting it to the Wayfair downtown LA, which is very exciting. That will be our second Wayfair, our first being in Santa Barbara. Our Wayfair hotel is a boutique hotel with the soul of a hostel, as we like to call it, where we really create these amazing communal experiences where guests have the opportunity to engage with one another. The guests kind of play and take on the role of host, and we really create an environment where guests can be traveling alone but never feel lonely. And even if you're traveling amongst friends, we really create this place, this space and a place where people are just having a lot of fun and having a sense of adventure.
Well, we've had some fun there in years past when you've had a couple of parties during the Alice conference. So
we teased everybody, twice. The next event will certainly be after the opening, and we're looking forward to that one as well.
So are we. Coming. Brad and I are both looking forward to that.
I know, believe me, I know it. It'll be coming around, early second quarter of 2019.
So, Stephen, just for those who also don't know, I mean, here you're saying the Wayfair, the first one in Santa Barbara. It's a totally different market than LA, What made you basically look at L.A. as a market? Is it just because it's one of those situations where if you're in this industry, you need to have a presence in L.A. at this point, or what?
So what we believe is that with Wayfair, what we're seeing with that, the first was in Santa Barbara because that was our backyard. At that time, we were based out of Santa Barbara, and an opportunity came up in our backyard, and we took advantage of the opportunity. Mm-hmm. What we created was Wayfair, but we believe that Wayfair has legs well beyond. Listen, Santa Barbara can't take anything away from that. Santa Barbara is a fantastic leisure market with also a good group demand and some good corporate there. But we see the opportunity to with Wayfair growing it beyond just leisure destination. We see it growing in these vastly improving in leisure markets as well, such as downtown L.A.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's an amazing opportunity right now to be basically have a presence in downtown L.A. with all that is going on in downtown L.A. Yeah.
Hey, Stephen, you know, we're going to stretch this out a little bit longer. We tried to get a hold of Ned DeLorum, and he didn't pick up the call. So, Ned, if you're listening by chance, call 949-330-7761, and we'll get you on the air. Stephen's going to be joining us in the studio on the 20th, so we're really looking forward to having you in the studio with us in a couple of weeks, Stephen.
Yeah, that sounds great. I look forward to talking more about Wayfair. We can talk more about Kinney and just other exciting things going on in the industry right now, which is always a lot of fun from our perspective.
How's the experience been working on that project in Los Angeles in terms of...
You'd always know going into historic that it's probably cheaper to tear the thing down and build new than it is to, you know, to try and renovate.
Yeah.
But you're never going to get that story. You're never going to get the experience that you get out of a historic.
That authentic patina, right?
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. What we were able to uncover, literally and physically uncover, by peeling off layers of flooring that had been there for close to 100 years, by peeling off, you know, layers of walls and finding, you know, amazing exposed brick, finding mosaic tiles in the flooring that we hadn't documented in any of our ID drawings.
Yep.
But you change. You change as the project takes shape, and you change through as you go through. You know, and then, of course, it's just where we are in the cycle in terms of construction. And you talk about the amount of construction going on in the country. Just look at what's going on in downtown L.A. right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, with cranes at seems like at every corner.
Yep.
And the amount of hotels that are going in there, it's exciting. We like the position that we're in. We like where we're located geographically in downtown LA. And frankly, we're excited for what we're going to be delivering in 2019 with Wayfair. I think it's the right time. There's, you know, Freehand opened up five, six blocks away from us, and I think that's great because that's another similar type of asset where they have shared accommodations, and it's bringing a visibility to the shared accommodation space that didn't exist to this extent.
Well, that's great, Stephen.
Stephen, thank you for that, and thank you again also for putting out an authentic product in a market that really could use something that has a genuineness to it. So kudos to you guys. We can't wait to enjoy that and share with you on the 20th and find out more. But thank you for calling in. Safe travels back.
Do you have a backpack full of money? Did you get all the Wall Street guys give you lots of cash?
Can you disclose that? It's heavy again. Good.
Good. Yeah. Safe travels, cuz. I'll see you when you get back into town.
Guys, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Have a great one.
We've got
Is it time?
The Messiah.
The man who walks on water?
Yes. Mr. Glenn Houseman on the phone.
How you all doing?
We're doing great. How are you, brother?
How you all doing? Are you in New York still? Or I can't keep track of you. Are you down south now?
In southern part of New York.
Oh, okay. All right, you all. I'll take that. I'll accept that from you.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, Long Island is a great place to be, and it's excellent because it's an island. That's really, you know, where I learned to my water walking skills from.
Bless you.
In the introduction.
Oh, gosh. It's always good to talk to you.
How was the show?
I assume you're talking about the NYU hospitality.
Well, either that or the walking on water, but unless you sold tickets to that one, NYU.
Well, the NYU Hospitality Investment Conference, and I say this will maybe give them a plug. They should say NYU International Hospitality.
Whoa.
I know. they branched out. They're global now.
No, why didn't that make it on their logo?
I don't know. too much. They need a second logo in order to fit the whole name.
There you go.
I think. All right, so I got to tell you, it was unbridled enthusiasm. People were excited, and a lot of deals looked like they were getting done, or at least a lot of high-stakes conversations seemed to be happening, and parties were great, plenty of sushi around, everyone was happy, but then again, if you're not happy at this stage in the hotel cycle, what are you doing?
Well, and for somebody that's the poster child for unbridled enthusiasm, to say that the show had unbridled enthusiasm... I can only imagine the energy level at that show.
Well, yeah, you know, from the journalism hat that I wear occasionally, there was no really good sexy news out there, you know? Oh. It's like, oh, things are still amazing!
It was old hat, is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, pretty much, but it's great. I think you can't argue with something like that. So, you know, I got to speak to a lot of great people. All the people on the management company side, they seem to be doing great. They all seem to be bringing on new hotels. They feel there's lots of opportunity in the space for everyone at the management level to, like, really be a winner right now. And the one thing I would learn on the negatives, I still don't think hotels are pushing rates as much as they can. Believe it or not, I think there's still room to grow.
What do you think is causing? What's the reason behind that, Glenn?
In terms of the great state of the industry, well,
they're not pushing rates.
Pushing rates? Because we're at the top of the business. If you're not making your money now, then when are you going to make it? I still don't think anyone's going to make a decision on where to stay for a buck or two. If you're getting great service,
right,
those TripAdvisor scores are high, and people seem to respond to you positively on social media, why not? You know, do it.
There you go.
Do you think the industry has a sort of a, you know, somebody pinch me, it's too good to be true kind of hesitation to doing that? Because I agree with you.
Yeah, I just think that they're not actively doing it as much as they possibly can. Fortunately, you've got great new revenue management tools out there, that can really assist you in making sure that you're making the right decision. So I think a lot of the problem is not that they don't want to do it, it's just that they don't know how to do it or to apply it at the right time.
So what with your journalism hat on, because we just had Stephen on, and I'm more interested from your perspective because you have a different vantage point and an overexposed eye, if you will. But what takes do you have from this, other than, you know, everything is great and everything is rosy? Did anything grab you as...
No.
No?
You were too busy eating sushi and walking on water?
There you go.
Yeah. No, you know, it's because it was really just kind of a replay of what we've been seeing for the last year or two.
Okay.
I don't mean to, you know, I can talk about every single aspect of our business if you'd like to in more detail, but there was nothing new, there was nothing surprising, it was a lot more of just advancing in the same direction that we've been going for several years now, and that's why it was just people being super duper happy.
So no new trends, just consistency with what's out there?
Well, I really think at this point you've got to really take a look at that extended stay hotel market trend. Yeah. On my No Vacancy show, I talk about it a lot, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that such a huge percentage of hotels are starting to move in that direction, which is matching the way that customers are starting to behave more and more. Mm-hmm. I believe Bruce Ford at Lodging Econometrics in their latest study showed that 27% of the all over construction pipeline in the hotel business are extended stay hotels. More than a quarter of them. What a big deal that is.
You know, you're right. It is. It's a huge deal right now. And I had Brian Rogers from Extended Stay America in the office the other day. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking with a client who's got some dirt here in California about building one of those. And I got to tell you, I was really impressed with the marketing materials and everything that I'd reviewed prior to the meeting. And, you know, sitting down and listening to Brian and the new direction that ESA is going in with bringing in franchisees and you know how they're selling off some of their assets. They're a public REIT, so they can do about 7 transactions a year. So it's always a portfolio, mm-hmm. usually 20 mm-hmm. hotels to a portfolio. I'm liking what I'm hearing from them. On the franchise side, how they'd like to have about a 70-30 split, 70% corporate owned, 30% franchise owned. They're taking every decision, you know, under consideration, knowing that, you know, okay, if we decide we don't like 38-inch televisions anymore, we want 42, that, you know, they've got to upgrade 70% of the hotels.
Yeah.
And, right. you know, they've you know, so, you know, I think it's an exciting time with the ESA.
Well, let me tell you, Craig, speaking of ESA, it's almost like you were reading my mind, because I happen to do a great podcast with Jonathan Halker, the CEO of Extended Stay America, while I was at the NYU conference.
Nice.
About all of those particular issues. So that interview will be coming out in a couple of weeks, but what I can tell you is that it's really great to see how that company is moving in that formula. And one thing that I equated it to, so people can get an understanding of what's happening here, and Mr. Halker agrees, it's very similar to what La Quinta did when they shifted from an all-ownership model to a franchise model.
Yeah.
So take a look at that story, and you'll see a new one that's developing here at ESA.
There you go. And if you are not listening to No Vacancy, why not?
You should be.
That is the industry's number one podcast.
The standard by which we all revel and aspire.
And not only can you... get No Vacancy on the No Vacancy News website. You can get it at Apple. And you can also find it now under the Media tab at the California Lodging Investment Conference website as well. So you've got multiple sources.
And what is that website?
CLIconference.com. Okay. So. But,
I have that actually, that page as my home page, because that one day of year is that significant to me, Craig Sullivan.
Oh, he is in top form today.
Yes, he is. You know, he really didn't have to travel, you know.
I've got a little bounce today, because just before we did this show, I got my positive energy up from recording the first ever hotel technology podcast, the 10-episode limited series that we're going to be releasing starting...
Oh, do tell.
2 weeks.
Really? Give us some more on that, and then I want to see if there was any M&A action at the at the conference.
I partnered with Scepter Hospitality Resources, SHR. We're going to be delivering a 10-episode limited series all about hospitality technologies that people out there need to know about and why they're important and how you can utilize it to your business advantage. So that'll be coming up before high tech, which I'm very excited about. You want to talk about M&A. So here's the thing. Nobody is really speaking about what's going to happen. I think a lot of that has to do with they don't want to spoil the deals that they're working on.
Right.
But I can tell you, in such a, I love this word, frothy environment, there's got to be more deals coming. There's got to be more consolidation coming.
Yep.
I think companies like Interstate are going to continue to buy more smaller management companies. I think now that the big hotel companies have started to combine, mm-hmm. I think you're going to start to see that in the management company level as well.
I think you're right about that. I think there's the mid-tier or mid-sized management companies, I think they're going to swallow up some of the smaller ones and get more of a foothold, whether it be in the boutique lifestyle sector or into more select service. But you know, I see that coming. I really do. And you know, good for Interstate. I mean, you look at what they've done in the past few years, and you know, their boutique lifestyle group that opened up last year as well. Matter of fact, we need to get Mark LeBlanc on.
Yeah.
I keep talking to him about it, but we haven't had him on as of yet. I think where we're at this time next year, we're all going to be able to reflect and go, wow, we really should have seen this coming. You know, it makes so much sense.
Well, and it's happening. It's happening in other sectors within the hospitality industry. So it's not just on sort of the ownership or the management side relevant to overarching hospitality. There are certain areas of focus that are experiencing and have been experiencing the same thing, in terms of specializations, whether it's the food and beverage side of it or the spa side of it or, you know, entertainment side of it. I'm seeing that happen across the board, and it's kind of a very interesting trend. It's kind of been happening under the surface, and now it's becoming more and more loud.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, Glenn, we're going to let you run and enjoy your family. I will be talking to you soon. Thank you very much for the update on the NYU International Hotel Conference. And
fix the logo.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you, my friend.
Thanks all to you guys for all your love and support. I love being on the show. Congratulations on all the good stuff that you're doing. I know that you're getting more and more listeners every week. Keep up the good work, and I'll speak to you guys soon. Have a good one.
Thank you,
thanks,
buddy.
Man. Take care.
Bye-bye.
As I mentioned earlier today, this was going to be a shorter show. We had the distinct pleasure of having Vincent Duhin here Thursday of last week, and that may have been our highest watched version of Checkout California.
And people have been asking me, like, you know, why did you guys do that? And I said, you know, the primary
ratings.
Ratings, yes. We're shameless. Thank you, Vincent. We all are now basically richer in some form or the other because of that appearance. But no, this show from day one was about California. And this show was from day one about how California, within the hospitality industry specifically, is a very much an innovator. It's a trendsetter. It's a risk taker. We do things out here because we're the fruits and nuts, and you know what? We're okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm comfortable in my skin with that. And the industry has a different flair. And so this was a gentleman that's coming at it from the entertainment side. It is hospitality. It's still hospitality.
Right. Absolutely.
And he's working on a concept that is a restaurant, a food and beverage, but it's also an entertainment venue. It's a music lover's. It has a nostalgic connection to an authenticity of a lifestyle that he experienced when he was younger, and he's younger than the two of us. And may I just say that we really feel very good that we were holding. I could be his father, Vincent. I could be your father. Okay, I live to do that on the air, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but we really felt that we had him an opportunity to basically sit down with him, and we weren't able to do it this week. And we actually called, and thank you, Paul, for making it available for us
to have
a special occurrence of the Checkout California show last Thursday. Sat down with the guy. It's amazing. I think you could see the heart in it, his soul and drive, the connectivity
very
between where
show.
Where he's come from and where he's going with this. And anybody who's in hospitality should be looking outside the box. We use the term of looking outside the box almost like a cliche at this point.
It's in our DNA.
But it's in our DNA, and you really need to get back to that. You know, we're all into this, you know, extended stay now, and we're all in these trends, and we're running on that cycle. But you know what? Don't miss out. Keep yourself open to things like what Vincent is doing, because we're sitting at this show, and he hadn't even thought about the fact that his concept would be a perfect food and beverage, entertainment, changes during the course of the day, takes on a different feel at night, on a weekend, venue that could be housed in a boutique-style hotel. In
absolutely.
A destination location that is hungry for entertainment, hungry for culture.
That's right.
And this is a guy that has been doing this, for about 10 years now?
About 10 years.
In the entertainment side, successful in three markets?
Scottsdale, Las Vegas, and Orange County. I mean, he was the force behind a bar scene here in Orange County for the past
He actually started going to existing food and beverage and introducing EDM and hip-hop into those venues, but and again, also other types of music. I mean, his Audio Bar OC, which you guys need to go check out, Audio Bar OC on Facebook. And there's a video there, and you'll get it directly from him. You also the episode is going to be airing here now. We're gonna replay it, but it's also available on OC Talk Radio's YouTube channel, and it is also available. You know, you're going to be able to listen to it live. So we won't be able to answer any questions. But if you have any questions for Vincent or us relevant to this after you hear
Paul. He'll be glad to answer the phone.
Yeah, and if he doesn't answer the phone, then you can send me an email. But you know, Vincent is very approachable. They're crowdfunding right now. You need to be aware of this, because this is the future trend of how we're going to discover these nuggets that are going to infuse seamlessly into the hospitality's new generation of hospitality projects.
Absolutely.
And with that,
thank you all. It's been a great show. We will be back on the 20th with Mr. Stephen Medell from Pacifica Hotels. I want to thank our sponsors today, Park West General Contractors. Hello to Nancy. Hey, Ed, Chris, thank you very much. And our other sponsor is Rad Gantos & Associates. Thank you very, very much. We'll see you on the 20th. Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you for being our guest today on Checkout California. We look forward to having you as a guest with us again in 2 weeks. Until then, you can always reach us through our Checkout California Facebook page or by emailing us at checkoutcalifornia@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, so do let us know what you think of the show and what areas of interest you'd like to see us cover in the future. Your feedback is very important to us as we continue to bring you the best hospitality our Golden State has to offer. Until next time, may all your days be filled with sunsets and palm trees. Now, go experience and check out California.
Rewards Gold Card from American Express. The rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy three with triple points on airfare. Buy two with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Eureka! You found us! Welcome to the Check Out California Radio Show, your key to California hospitality. Hosted by Rad Gantos, principal of Rad Gantos & Associates, a hospitality and commercial real estate design firm, and Craig Sullivan, executive vice president of ParkWest GC, a hospitality and commercial real estate general contractor. Check Out California is focused on our state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play in California's vibrant and innovative economic diversity and unique quality of life. Now, here are your hosts, Rad Gantos and Craig Sullivan.
Good afternoon. I'm Craig Sullivan.
And I'm Rad Gantos.
Welcome to Check Out California.
Special edition.
Check out. Very special edition. We've got Vincent Doe from Night Hype Entertainment, a nightlife events and marketing concierge company that's now operating in Orange County, California, Las Vegas, Nevada, Scottsdale, Arizona. Vince is here to talk about his new venture, Audio Bar, Orange County. Sounds very exciting with the pre-meeting that we had just a little while ago. Vince, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your venture?
Awesome. My name is Vincent Doe. I grew up in Orange County, California, Costa Mesa, Huntington Beach mostly. Went to Newport Harbor High School, Orange Coast College, and then graduated with a Long Beach State degree in business marketing.
Very nice.
Yeah, so locally homegrown.
Go Beach, actually.
Yes, Go Beach. Go you Beach. Got it right. That's right. You know. Since I was young, I've always been known to be a really social person, had some pretty big birthday parties every year, and kind of got known as a person who throws a lot of events and a lot of fun and brings people together. And then pretty much through high school and beginning of college, I started working in the nightlife scene just from the very bottom, just passing out flyers for different electronic music events in LA and Inland Empire areas mostly. And then it started focusing more locally on Orange County bars. And nightclubs.
Yeah.
And I would say that, you know, Night Hype Entertainment, my company that I started, it started longer before this, but the real start was in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
It started at a venue called Woody's Wharf in Newport Beach.
Yeah. Know it well.
It's a classic place that is able to continue bringing out new clientele throughout the generations. And we used to throw pretty much the first successful weekly Wednesday night there ever. Wednesday night in Orange County, I mean. And it was crazy. And from that, all the bars and clubs started coming and saying, who is this Night Hype Entertainment? Who is this Vince guy that can bring all these people on a Wednesday? What can he do on a weekend?
Right.
So, you know, from there, we started promoting at all the major clubs in Orange County, Shark Club, Heat Ultra Lounge, Sutra. We've been at Sharky's Huntington Beach on Tuesdays for 7 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. And, we constantly, you know, try to innovate ourselves, do different events that bring in different kinds of crowds. We don't just say, hey, come to our Taco Tuesday every Tuesday, come to our Taco Tuesday.
Right.
We try to do different, themes. We had a 90s night going there for a while on Tuesdays and did like crazy stuff like a Ninja Turtle party and Spice Girls lookalike contest and crazy stuff like that. And we've worked with a lot of big sponsors, OC Weekly included.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to have an article coming out on OC Weekly.
I got a preview thanks to Raquel.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to say anything until I see it in print, so we'll just leave it at that.
No pressure, yeah. Raquel.
But and from there, felt like I wanted to expand outside of Orange County just to broaden my horizons and see how other markets work, and found an opportunity in Scottsdale, Arizona. So I had my vice president, Alex Mag, take over Night Hype Orange County, and he's been here for about 6 years running it without me.
Okay.
So he still does 4 weekly events at Mansion Costa Mesa Fridays, Time Nightclub Thursdays, and Killarney's in Huntington on Saturdays. Yeah. And then in Scottsdale, we duplicated what we're doing out here with the nightclubs and bars. We threw a weekly night swim pool party at this place called Spanish Fly. We threw a Halloween block party with 1,000 people 2 years in a row called the Neon Halloween Block Party.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And that's got to be fun. There's got to be some stories behind that.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. And then a crazy thing was... one of my old business partners, Chris Canada, he and I used to own a party bus together here in Orange County for a year, and he moved out to Vegas before I did, and he's like, hey, how are things going in Arizona? I said, well, it's really slow in the summertime. You know, it's really hot there, and everyone right. wants to leave, and a lot of them go to Vegas. So he said, well, why don't you come out here and check out the Vegas scene and see if you want to work in it? And so I came out for a summer. Loved it, saw the opportunity, and started splitting my time between Arizona and Las Vegas. And for the last 4 years, it's pretty much been full-time Las Vegas.
Wow, okay.
So our company in Vegas is a little different than Orange County and Scottsdale. It's more of a concierge company rather than an event production company.
Okay.
So we take care of people's trips from start to finish, including discount rates on hotel rooms to transportation to nightclubs, pool parties, bachelorette party planning, dinner reservations, and all that.
Shop.
Yeah, so you can look us up, Night Hype Entertainment, spelled NYTEHYPE. And yeah, we're contracted with most of the major nightclubs on the Strip.
So you get everybody in, no waiting in line.
And, yeah, we could do that for sure. So Hakkasan, Omnia, Encore Beach Club, Intrigue, Excess, Dre's, Rehab, many of the venues you guys have been
covering. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's super fun, and it's great to super grateful to be able to follow our passions and continue to do what we do and grow. And now the next step, after promoting other people's venues for over 10 years, we have a concept we've been working on for the last 3 years called Audio Bar, and it's our chance to put together everything that we've ever learned in marketing, in event planning.
Well, let's hear about Audio Bar. Yeah. Let's give the audience
the
website.
And why Orange County?
Yeah.
Why Orange County? It's a great question. There's a few answers to that. Orange County is home. Orange County, I feel I have the most support in, thanks to you guys. And we know the market the best here. Scottsdale and Vegas are very competitive. I mean, every market's competitive.
Yeah.
But I feel like those ones are a lot more competitive if you don't have your roots there.
Right.
And even though I have done business in Scottsdale for about 6-7 years and then in Vegas for the last 4 or 5, I just feel like it's the safest bet to be here in Orange County. But also, it's not just from a business standpoint in that way in regards to risk. It has to do with wanting to bring something here, a concept here that could add to the nightlife offerings here. Something unique and different. So I could talk about the concept if you guys
think there's room for that.
There's definitely room. I mean, if you want to ask more direct questions.
No,
I
didn't want to put Vince on the spot. I promise I wouldn't put Vince on the spot.
Okay.
But we've had some good conversations in the last 2 days about this and the fact that, you know, a lot of us in Orange County probably live in towns where they roll up the streets on 10 o'clock at night, you know, and that's on a weekend. So no disrespect to anybody. I know a lot of people that are restaurant and bar owners. And I think the timing... The community, the county, the mix of people that are in it, the interest in different kinds of music, the diversity that's in there, the alignment, if you will, of things. There is a need and a hunger for a bit more of a sophisticated, diversified offering for a nightlife.
I totally agree.
And something that goes hopefully more than 10 o'clock at night. You know, you look at Yelp at any night of the week and the restaurants are closing at 10. You know, there's a few that don't, and hats off to you guys. Thanks for sticking it out and opening late. But yeah, I think it's an awesome opportunity, even if it's just on a business side. I mean, you know, it's A, it's home, B, you got the support, but I think it's a fantastic opportunity, and your concept's amazing, so we should talk about the concept.
Yeah, we absolutely should. And the other thing that's great is, you know, local boy comes home, makes good.
Makes good.
And
you definitely know the market. You grew up here, so yep. you understand it. You see the dynamics and how they're changing right now, and how you could fill that gap and bring a product and a service to this sleepy little community. And,
bedroom community. The reason why they call it the Orange County bedroom community.
Turn it on.
It's a glorified suburb, is what I sometimes call it. Yeah. But we could add to it. We can make it more fun.
Absolutely. So let's hear about your concept.
Yeah. So Audio Bar Orange County. What it is it's a music inspired venue. It's a bar, nightclub, and restaurant. It follows the design of a type of concept in Scottsdale, Arizona, that is actually the most successful type of bar, in my opinion, there. Called the high energy bar.
Yep. Okay.
So what it is a lot of people here in Orange County, when you hear the words a cross between a nightclub and a bar, they instantly think it's a lounge.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it. And it's not a lounge. It's what it is it's a bar that feels comfortable and casual. And when people walk into a bar and it's empty during the day, they don't feel like they just feel like, okay, let's grab a seat. Let's hang out. When you walk into a nightclub when it's empty, you start going, oh my gosh, panic. Like, this is not going to be a good time. We got to get out of here.
Right, right.
So we're trying to create that environment where people can come in throughout the whole week, during the day as well, and be comfortable. But then on the weekends, it turns into a nightclub atmosphere, but not a full-on nightclub atmosphere. So the bars in Scottsdale that do this well are, some of them are called El Jefe, Hi-Fi, Bottled Blonde, and they've been expanding into other states. Austin, Chicago.
Yep.
And those concepts, basically, they turn up the music, they put on a DJ, they have some lighting effects, but it's not fully dark like a nightclub would be. There's girls dancing everywhere, but they're not in go-go outfits. They're a little skimpy and, you know, sexy, but not so much that it would offend the casual bar crowd. So,
which, again, let's remember, you're saying Orange County, so that's probably a good...
Yeah, there's a lot of beach people here, casual, you know, coming out from surfing from the day and whatnot. And what's cool about those concepts is there's people buying bottle service next to people who are wearing shorts and sandals.
Yep.
Yeah. And so it doesn't really alienate anyone. A bar goer can love it. A club goer can love it. So it's great. And then to go into the music part. So I looked into places that I used to love going to as a kid. People always say, if you're going to open a bar, you got to open a place that you would want to be at all the time.
Right.
Hours on end. Because if not, you're going to burn yourself out. And how could you really want other people to come all the time if you don't want to be there all the time?
Right.
So, personally, I'm not really into sports bars. I'm not into sports, really. So, I could make money and open a sports bar, but that's just not my thing and my passion.
There's too many of those as it is.
Absolutely. So, I looked into the places that I grew up hanging out hours on end at, and some of them include record stores, mm-hmm. such as Tower Records that used to be here, Costa Mesa, Warehouse Music, and also this place called CD Listening Bar. And there were three of them in South Orange County. The one I went to was in Irvine. And the cool thing about CD Listening Bar was they allowed you to come in there and listen to any CDs on the walls, even if they're brand new, just released. They would open them for you, and you could sit there for free and hang out for 8 hours on end listening to whatever music you wanted. And I thought it was great because at the time when I think I was 15, 16 or so, I was starting to open my horizons, not just in hip-hop, but into ska, metal, like different things. And so I was able to go to CD Listening Bar and start listening to new genres and discovering new things. And it was great. So at Audio Bar, we're kind of duplicating that in a different way. We're going to have a music listening station, and people are going to be able to come in during the day, and a lot of bars struggle in bringing people in during the day.
Right.
People can come in, put on our headphones. There's going to be iPads where we'll have a playlist curated by us. You know, we might change it every 3 months. It'll be all types of music, and people can just listen to whatever they want. They could order cocktails, they can order lunch, drinks, whatever, and just hang out all day. And so that's one aspect of it. I used to love going to Hard Rock Cafe, mm-hmm. and Hard Rock is really cool. Especially when you know who the bands are.
Yeah.
But the thing is today's 21-year-old, when you walk into Hard Rock, you don't know who Led Zeppelin is sometimes.
Yep.
A lot
right.
of them don't know who Nirvana is. They don't know who Guns N' Roses are. They might not even know who Prince is, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
And so they look on the walls and they see this cool memorabilia, but they don't necessarily relate to it.
There's no emotional connection to it.
Right. Exactly.
It's not what they grew up on.
Exactly. So it's cool. It feels cool, but it may not be something that, like you said, they could relate to. And so I'm trying to create the next generation, you know, a hard rock style concept. But for today's generation, we're trying to differentiate from the rock. So we don't want to do rock
right.
because it's already been done.
Yeah.
And we feel like today's generation is very into nightclubs and is very into music festivals. The music festival scene is growing bigger than it ever has been. Electric Daisy Carnival here in Las Vegas is the largest music festival in North America, and that's mostly electronic music.
There you
so,
go.
Yeah.
Coachella, and you've got various others. Well, I mean, they're crossing all the various genres.
Well, and
they start
out being very, like, grassroots and very, like, ground up, and they become more and more sophisticated and gentrified, and to a certain extent, you know, there's alternatives that are coming up because some of the venues have become a little bit more streamlined. And so that's kind of cool because that speaks to kind of the history of music, right, where you've seen that happen before.
Yep.
Where a festival takes on a little bit more of a corporate nature, and then everybody basically says, well, I'm not going to go there anymore. Where else am I going to go? Here's another thing that pops up.
Right.
So I thought it was really cool. And we talked about this kind of half jokingly, but I think it merits repeating, is there's a lot to be said for something that is genuinely authentic these
right.
days. That isn't just cookie cutter curated in a world that is so overly curated, something that is happenstance, something that has a little bit of a variable in it, something that's authentic, it's more steak than just sizzle and optics. That probably scares the living daylights out of people, you know? and it should, because that's where it happens. That's that comfort zone where you're out of that comfort zone and things start happening. Those are the memorable things that you probably experienced when you were going and checking out that new music at places, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Well, and that's the differential, you know, between you and the hard rock. You know, you're looking at different genres. You're looking at the impact in the community, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, Orange County's always had a wealth of talent musically and entertainment-wise. So let's celebrate that. I mean, and I think personally that was part of the problem with the hard rock, certainly the issue with Planet Hollywood and its demise. They were the same. There was nothing to differentiate, you know, any of them other than Vegas had gaming at the Hard Rock.
Right.
So that was about it.
Yeah.
Where's your first location at?
It's going to be in Costa Mesa. I'm not going to say exactly where. We're looking at a couple spots.
You'll need to be on the list to find out.
Yeah. I do want to say a couple more things about the concept real fast.
Sure.
Yeah. So we're gonna be focused on EDM and hip hop music. And when you walk in, you're gonna see memorabilia of your favorite timeless EDM DJs, producers, and hip hop artists. So
very nice.
You could walk in and see Deadmau5's helmet, Skrillex's jacket, The Weeknd's gold record sign, Kendrick Lamar's this, and just different things on the walls. And it'll speak to today's generation, which will be really cool. And and we're going to be doing a lot of cool music inspired events. So, you know, there will be EDM nights, there'll be, you know, top 40 hip hop, but then other nights of the week, there'll be a music trivia night. We'll have an open mic night and just different things that are music oriented to basically what you were saying about a lot of bars and restaurants and whatnot. They just kind of open their doors and they just appeal to the general mass.
If I see one more bar with recycled wood and sort of a floating, you know, like drink shelf above the bar with low lighting and some God knows what concrete polished floors, you know, where the logo basically changes every 6 months because ownership can't make a go of it, and it's successful or as badly, you know, fails as the one before it. I mean, it's just, there's no authenticity. There's no risk taking. The other word that comes to mind, Vince, and I shared this with you yesterday, is innovation, right? I mean, there's some people that when I told them you're going to be on the show, they're like, yeah, is there a hospitality show? You know, it's a California hospitality show. And I said, if you put the word California on hospitality and you don't understand the importance of the word authenticity and innovation, then you really don't get A, California, and B, really the spirit of hospitality. Innovation, one thing that comes to mind, and it's kind of a funny story. I've seen it happen across the country, not just here, right? But if you're at Crystal Cove, if you've ever been at Crystal Cove prior to they basically put in the Beachcomber in there, yeah. Right? Crystal Cove used to have this tradition. All these guys that basically got, lit at these little homes that, was only a matter of time before the state took back, they basically put up a martini flag every, I think it was 5 o'clock or something, at sunset, and then somebody basically blew the bugle, and basically they had to salute the flag with a martini glass on it, right? That was great.
That's
in
cool.
Places like Crystal Cove,
right.
In places
right.
That were of that nature from the 50s and 60s that had that part of their authentic yeah. culture. But when every place that has a bar on the beach starts to basically consider putting up a flag and having a makeshift fabricated 5 o'clock bugle blow, that to me is not innovation.
Right.
That to me is riding on the curtails of somebody else rather than doing the hard work that is really where the rubber meets the road. And you are doing that with Audiobar. And that's why I wanted you on the show. And I told Craig, it is hospitality. It is innovation within that. And you are basically being hospitable. I mean, if it's a bar, if you're a restaurant, if you're a hotel, you are in the hospitality
business. Yeah,
absolutely.
We're getting the signal. We got about 2 minutes left. So,
oh, wow.
Your buddy, Raquel, wants you to talk about the launch party. So let's do that real quick, and then we have to wrap this up. I have to thank a few people for being sponsors.
Yeah, Raquel.
Oh, we're taking the break.
Oh, you're taking a break.
Yeah, we're taking a break.
Taking a break in 2 minutes. Okay. So,
yeah, so it's not over. It's just a break.
I'm not done with Vince yet.
Whew. He's teaching in a little bit. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, so we're gonna. So let's go take, let's take the break, Paul, and then we'll come back. And for those who are watching on Vince's, just hang in there for a minute.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3, with triple points on airfare. By 2, with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over 1 million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
So Vince, go
ahead. Welcome back. This is Check Out California. Vince Doe's with us, and we're talking about the Audiobar OC. Welcome back.
Which is Audiobar OC on Facebook, right?
Exactly, yeah. Audiobar OC, audiobaroc.com, and we have a live crowdfunding campaign right now to raise our first capital towards our opening on Indiegogo.
And very nice.
Let's search for Audiobar OC.
How big of a place are you opening?
It's going to be 4,000 to 6,000 square feet.
Yeah. Okay. Give you a little time to grow into it and turn it into a big hit, and then look for a second, bigger location, I'm guessing.
Since the start of our crowdfunding campaign about a month ago, it goes until June 20th, we've had more investor interest, and some of them have been talking about how they see potential for this to become franchisable.
Absolutely.
So it's really exciting.
Done right, absolutely.
You've
proven models with Hard Rock and various others.
Right. Well, and anybody who is going to go check it out, go to Audiobar OC on Facebook, but there's also a website, Vince, right?
Yeah, audiobaroc.com.
And there's some good visuals on there. These guys have done a lot of background and work and hard work in this. It's very well dialed in. And so I can totally understand why people are already kind of reaching out to you and saying franchise, franchise, franchise.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So tell us about your launch party.
Well,
hinted at that before we went to the break.
Raquel Figlo, she's writing right now. She's our publicist for Audiobar, and she was able to land us an article in OC Weekly and connected us with this radio show here, and she wants to help out with our launch party. That's going to be at a future date to be determined whenever we get all of our funding in a row and start building and everything in Costa Mesa, California, so stay tuned.
And make sure you like the page, pass it on, share it. Get the word out that these guys are doing this. It is really one of the genuinely innovative things that I've seen come through OC in a long time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rad hasn't stopped talking about it. So.
I haven't stopped talking about it.
So if you need a designer to help out, there's one there, and I've got a construction company that can they can help you out with that as well. So
great to know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. All local talent. So.
So I asked you this question, and for those who basically see the word, you know, audio bar, you're gonna have food?
Yes, we are. We are going to have food. Originally, we were going to call it the Audio Bar and Ristorante. We're actually going to scrap the Ristorante. Yes. And it's going to be casual American and some Italian bites, pretty much, light food. Yeah, it's going to be great. we don't want to eat too much when we're being social.
Right. But I mean, there's going to be so what I was trying to get to is there's a little bit more of a full service offering here.
Yep.
It's a bar, it's listening stations, you know,
dancing,
it changes on the weekend. It has a weeknight vibe, and then you also have some food, and it's pretty cool. And it's centrally located, really, for Orange County. So very, very cool. So what are you going to do with your other businesses?
That's a good question. Yeah. So Night Hype Entertainment, it's in Orange County. It's going to be determined if the other venues that we're working with right now, I named them earlier, Sharky's, Huntington Beach, Mansion, Costa Mesa, Time Nightclub, and Killarney's. It'll be up to them if they're open to us continuing to do promotions on these specific nights with them, when we own our own and operate our own place. In Scottsdale, to be honest, we're not really doing events right now. We kind of shifted a lot of our attention towards Las Vegas and this project, Audio Bar.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is we have staff in Scottsdale that help out. Damon is working on marketing for Audio Bar, and Ashley Bonner. Thank you, Ashley. She's our operations manager for Las Vegas, and she's pretty much my, right hand woman. So
I can be on a plane in here in an hour. So
exactly. So our concierge service in Las Vegas with Night Hype Entertainment is going to continue. So all you guys who are worried, oh man, Vince is starting this new thing, can he still take care of us? Our staff is still going to be able to take care of you and give you great service in Las Vegas.
Well, and you'll have a presence in both of those markets, which should be the next natural extension if you actually get a franchise situation or even a corporate owned locations, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. What do you see in terms of, you're going to open this thing, you've got 10 years of, being in that industry, right?
More than that.
Well, okay.
About 15.
Do you see it going? I mean, is this something that you're just capturing a moment in time when this is good? Is it going to last 5 years? Because that's going to be part of that investment question or investor question, right?
It is, yeah. It's a good question. To be honest, my original plan was to open the first one in Orange County.
Yeah.
And then once that gets going well, then open a second one in Scottsdale or Tempe, Arizona area. And then we were just going to see what really happens after that. Those are my original plans, but I mean, with investors involved and what their goals
are. Gas lamp, San Diego.
This concept could easily go into downtown San Diego.
Absolutely.
It can go
into Pasadena, Santa Monica.
It can go into LA. It could go.
Stay out of downtown LA.
someone was talking to us this week about opening in Austin, Texas.
Austin would be a good
market.
Austin's
a great market.
So how do you, Vince, avoid the pitfall of some of the places that you mentioned early on using as examples? I mean, how do you avoid the pitfalls of becoming obsolescent? Like a Hard Rock or something like that, where not necessarily obsolescent, but where that isn't. I mean, and the reason I'm asking is because you've been on the promotion side, right?
Yep.
So you've had to keep it fresh for all those places.
Yep.
And by the way, I think they would be dumb, and I'm telling it on the air right now, to basically stop having you guys promote just because you have your own place, because the need for them to basically still have those seats filled and those drink orders.
There's enough room for everybody.
I'm asking this with put your promoter hat on. How do you avoid having a venue, which is brick and mortar, that has capital investment in it, go the way of the other ones that have basically done that?
I'm going to answer this from an Orange County local perspective.
Please.
And this is what the show's for. So to be able to be at Sharky's Huntington Beach Tuesdays for 7 years, you have to constantly bring new crowds in the door. And we're really good about bringing in different people to be affiliated with our events. So, for example, when U.S. Open is coming, we'll work with local companies, surf companies, whatnot, and bring them in, do cross promotions with us. We're always bringing in different people to guest bartend with us, different DJs locally to perform for us. We do weird stuff too. Sometimes we bring in a local drummer to play with the DJs, or just different giveaways with local companies. And so doing that is what allows us to keep the doors or the attendance full, because you can't just draw on your own same people over and over, because
it's another Taco Tuesday.
No. Right, exactly.
We talked about that earlier. It can't be that. And that was one of the things that, you know, Midnight Oil did so well. Randy Gerber created the Ultra Lounge.
Right.
Okay, so Midnight Oil, we had firsthand experience with him at a hotel asset in San Diego.
Okay.
Now, you know, he came in and it was a machine. And
awesome.
They knew what they were doing, you know, from how the bar was going to look, feel, and operate, to who they were going to in their e-blast, tell everybody, hey, we got a special event, we got so-and-so showing up. And they always kept it fresh. They did that in Manhattan and everywhere else.
That's awesome,
Freshness and authenticity has always got to be a part of it. And, you know, it's constantly, as Brad was asking about earlier, that CapEx that needs to be, you know, spent to do that. So, you know, if you're taking out part of the look and vibe every, you know, 2 years or 14 months, whatever it is, or 5 years, whatever it is, the change is, you've got something that's unique and you're going to be, you know, sustainable on a lot of different levels, including the possibility of a franchise.
Where I was going with it too, and I was trying to highlight this, because when I look and when I talk to Vince, you know, people will tell you what they're all about sometimes when they don't even know that they're telling you what they're all about. if you're listening between
the
words,
you're assessing me, huh?
I'm really appreciate you. I assess him. I appreciate you.
Okay,
but
cool.
But no, I think if you really listen between the words, sometimes people will tell you where their heart is, and I see it happen all the time, where people basically hitch their wagon to something that has been a success for a moment and has a sustainable shelf life for the last couple of years. But what they miss in doing that is that what is really sustainable is what's underneath that.
Absolutely.
What is the driving passion that drives people? And sometimes it's not the larger organization. It's not necessarily the smaller one either, but you got to delve deeper. And if the person, you, is one, if your team and the people that are around you that are basically engaged in this thing, that are passionate. I mean, I'm looking at Raquel, man. She's just like posting all over your friggin' feed, right? And it's like, you know, if people are engaged, they're passionate, they believe not only in the product, but the lifestyle and what it stands for, and are willing to continue to put in the time, explore, have that fascination of what's the new on the scene, and how do we bring it to bigger audience, how do we make it palatable, that's what's going to make that place sustain and have a shelf life.
Yeah, and on top of that, I mean, on top of all the cool things that we're bringing environment-wise and entertainment-wise, it all goes down to the core of hospitality, which is what this show's about.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
right.
We're going to give stellar service at Audio Bar. We're going to serve amazing food. We're going to make great, unique cocktails and, you know, have that be our core behind everything else that we're promoting.
The location does not have a soul. All it is a space.
Absolutely. And I, in comparison to places in Orange County, I feel like a lot of places, like I said, kind of just open for the masses.
Right.
We're creating a place for music lovers. Our slogan and hashtag is Music Lovers Unite. Mm-hmm. And we feel that there needs to be a place like that, because record stores are long gone for the most part. And today, people share music in a very impersonal way. They read music blogs. They go on Spotify by themselves. They don't talk to each other about music unless you go to a concert or a music festival or a club. And sometimes we can't always do that. We might have kids and not be able to enjoy and meet people that are like-minded like us who love music.
And if you have a place that even when you do have kids, you feel that you could still go and
absolutely.
Maybe even share that experience as the kids get older. I mean, that really is that unification, that coming together and sharing an experience.
Right.
Right.
Shout out to Kaztek, my big blowing up DJ friend here that just tuned in. What's up, Kaztek?
So I think anything else that you'd like to share with people at this point? I mean, I know
you're down to the last couple of minutes.
Yeah,
so I want to make sure I give you that time.
I just want to say thank you guys so much for having me. Thank you, Raquel, for putting this together. And also, if you guys have been seeing our promotions for Audio Bar, we are doing a live crowdfunding campaign right now. We're raising money towards our opening costs. Right now, we're about $1,000 shy of being able to acquire all the music memorabilia. So if you guys can contribute, that would be great. We have some cool perks on there that you guys can take advantage of keeping for your contribution. So you could look at that at audiobaroc.com or find us on indiegogo.com. And yeah, thank you so much for the support so far. And Audio Bar is on its way, and we have some investor interest in it after this campaign. So yeah, every dollar counts, and we're bringing this to you guys, to Orange County, for everyone to enjoy.
And share this audio, share this feed.
Please.
I mean, it's easy as clicking a share on the button. Sharing is caring, so just go ahead and send it out.
Vincent, thank you for joining
us
today.
Appreciate
we
it.
Can't wait for the opening, and
we'll have you
back on the show after the opening.
Yeah,
that way you can
good.
Decompress a little bit, and we can talk about it, and we're both looking forward to being there.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being on the show. Today's show was brought to you by Park West General Contractors. Thank you, Chris Hostert and Ed La Civita. And it was also brought to you by Rad Gantos and Associates, my co-host and co-producer of the show.
Thank you
all very much. This was a special shortened edition. Rad and I are going to be back on Wednesday of next week with on our regular day and time. That'll most likely be a shorter show as well, where we're going to be talking about the NYU conference and a few other things with hospitality. We're going to have a couple of special guests call in from NYU and that hospitality conference, and we'll go from there.
It'll be a great show.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Vince, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you for being our guest today on Checkout California. We look forward to having you as a guest with us again in 2 weeks. Until then, you can always reach us through our Checkout California Facebook page or by emailing us at checkoutcalifornia@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, so do let us know what you think of the show and what areas of interest you'd like to see us cover in the future. Your feedback is very important to us as we continue to bring you the best hospitality our Golden State has to offer. Until next time, may all your days be filled with sunsets and palm trees. Now, go experience and check out California.